Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Bob Paisley created the bluegrass band Southern Grass 6 decades ago. His son Danny Paisley has been carrying on the tradition since Bob's passing in 2004. Southern Grass has received over 15 Bluegrass Music Award nominations and in 2009 was awarded the IBMA Song of the Year for Don't Throw Mama's Flowers Away. Danny has been awarded the IBMA Male Vocalist of the Year 3 times. Danny joins me on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about the band's rich history and their new album, Bluegrass Troubadour. Hi, Danny. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Good to talk to you today. You are in the northern part of the United States, is that right?
I'm up in Pennsylvania, due north of Baltimore, Maryland, due south of Philadelphia, right where the tri-state area is, where the Delaware, Maryland, and Pennsylvania all come together.
Is that the... Okay, so that's above the Delmar Peninsula? Is that above
Delmarva? Yeah, I'm above the Delmarva. I'm up northern Delaware. Wilmington, Delaware is about 15 miles away.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, right up in that little corner up there.
Yeah. So tell me about your exposure to music and bluegrass music. When did all of this get started for you?
Oh, mercy. My father, his name was Bob Paisley, and he played music for years with a gentleman, Ted Lundy. Mm-hmm. Ted Lundy was a transplant from the southwest Virginia area down in the mountains around Galax, Virginia.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And my father was a transplant from in the northern North Carolina area, West Jefferson, near Mount Airy, so to speak, Boone, and in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And both their families at different times moved north. And along with several other families, there's a family here well known, the Campbells. Olabelle Reed was a Campbell.
Okay.
And they've all moved up here and brought the music with them. And there's a hotbed of bluegrass, old time, now Americana, a real good tradition of folk music in general,
yeah,
up in this part of the country.
And your dad started this band, Southern Grass,
well,
is that right or no?
Yes, it originally got started with Ted Lundy and Bob Paisley, and Ted passed away, and Dad kept going and named the band the Southern Grass, and he kept going, and over the years, well, I played in the band with my father for mercy 30 years, I guess. Over the years, Ted Lundy's son, TJ, who is Teddy Jr., and Bob Lundy, also played music. They were in the band for a long time, left, and then they come back, and they've been with me now, I guess, over 10 years. So,
okay.
So we've sort of kept the music going.
Yeah.
And we enjoy what we do.
So has this been a full-time pursuit for you, or have you?
Yes. Shortly right after I got married, and for the first time, and my son Ryan was on the way. I worked a little bit at Sears and Roebuck when it was in business, pretty much music was my main business.
Okay. And then I think I read where your son Ryan is now part of the band, right?
Yes, he's been a part of the band since, over 10 years. He was always with me, and he loved to play music, loved the music. So he would come along with me all the time. Well, he started messing with the mandolin. And I would show him mandolin chords, and he would get started just standing in the back, chopping the mandolin some. And over the years now, he's developed into just a top plate mandolin picker. He's 22, I believe he is. Uh-huh. And he is really a hot mandolin picker now.
Wow, that's great. So it's kind of been started as a family band and kind of stayed that way.
Yeah, we just keep passing the tradition on, which is really good heritage. Ryan has different ideas than I do, and I had different ideas than my father did.
Yeah.
So we each put our little mark on the music and keep it going. And I think that's what music is all about.
Sure. Yeah.
Constantly evolving. We can't expect young people to be drawn to the music, singing about cabins and old mountain homes, as much as we love that tradition of our music and love those songs. It's also a different time. Young person today doesn't relate to the hard life of living deep in the mountains and growing up in a cabin. So each person brings their own little a touch to the music, I should say.
Sure, yeah, and you make a really good point. It's easy to get frustrated with the younger generation. I'm more in your generation age-wise, but they didn't grow up that way. They didn't grow up being exposed to the things that we did, and so how can you expect them to write and reminisce and sing about them when they have no idea what they were about?
There's a large audience in our music. That's what they relate to, the old-timey ways and such. And now, as time goes by, there's people that can't relate to that.
Right.
Well, that's how you keep the music going.
Sure.
I do traditional bluegrass in its traditional format, but I also appreciate the younger styles of it and the new styles, you know. And I can't expect my son to be influenced by the same music and same people and life as I was.
Right, sure, yeah. Do you all write your own songs?
Well, I've written a little bit, but not much. Ryan does on his mandolin. He puts a lot of nice, good mandolin tunes together. I rely on a whole network of great songwriters that constantly send me material, and that's the challenge, trying to pick out fresh songs.
Do you have a process? How do you do that? How do you decide, you know, this is the 8 or 10 or 12 songs we're going to settle on for this record?
Well, I found you got to be flexible, because I picked out, we're going in to record a CD, and you pick out 10, and there's one of them that just ain't working, or we're just not putting it together at this time. So you got to be flexible in that way. Songs that I really like, maybe most of the others don't like. And I'll have the final decision, but I also respect their opinion. So if somebody's just really not liking it, I, of course, wouldn't use anything, because that means they're not going to put out their best.
Sure.
Either. They just can't. You know?
Yeah. Is it?
And it's hard in today's age to find fresh songs. But also have a marketing value too, and a lot of my fans like to hear the old ones that I've been singing for 30 years, so I have to respect that.
Sure, yeah,
because they've been with me all this time.
Yeah.
But then to bring in new people, I have to have other songs. So on a CD, I try to mix it.
Now,
to have something that most can relate to.
Yeah, and you brought up an interesting point that I wanted to ask you about. You guys have stayed pretty true to traditional bluegrass versus the contemporary and pushing out into the Americana side of bluegrass music. Is it
right.
Is it harder to find songwriters that are writing in the traditional style than it used to be?
Well, somewhat. Yes, there's a lot of great songwriters, but the song just doesn't fit me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to sort of select what fits my vocal style.
Mm-hmm.
And something I really fall in love with, I may not be able to cut it singing.
I see. Sure. Okay.
Or performance wise. That's a little difficult. But I usually adapt pretty good. Here in the last year or so, I've done a few collaborations with some other singers, and I've had to really stretch my bounds a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's been fun. It's been fun. But I also find myself respecting my lifelong fans, too.
Yeah, sure. Do you have a pretty busy schedule this year? You've been able to maintain
it? Sure do.
Yeah.
I sure do. I'm very lucky. I've always been able to keep a good band together and always been able to provide a lot of work. I have a good team of people around me that handle my bookings, main attraction management, and Laura Maynard. She keeps me real busy. And I just have a good year this year. Last year I was sick, and I had a good year planned out, but I was under cancer treatment.
Oh, my.
So this year is sort of catch-up. A lot of people just rolled their gigs over to this summer,
mm-hmm.
their festival. So that, with the new ones, really has me a full schedule.
Mm-hmm. So how many dates will you try to cover this season?
I at least do over 100 or so, about 120
wow.
or something like
okay.
that.
Okay.
I found out it's best to keep a band by keeping them working.
Sure. Yeah.
And I like to work myself, and I try to keep a full schedule.
Well, that's good with the way some of these festivals have not been able to survive through COVID and actually, you know, retire the festival, to be able to have those kinds of date numbers. That's a testament to your music for sure.
Well, you have to, and to keep a band employed, you have to be able to play sort of alternative jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We have no problem going in and playing a theater,
mm-hmm.
Performing Arts Center, and then the next day be playing a county fair.
I have
some people don't want certain styles of jobs, certain types of jobs. My motto is for that job and that day, I try to do the best I can do.
Yeah.
So I don't worry too much about the job itself. Some only want major festivals and things like that. Well, there's a whole lot of work out there as long as you keep yourself flexible and
mm-hmm.
willing to do it and not be afraid. No, be afraid to go present your music at a local county fair or town fair because you're a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
We've never had that problem.
That's great. How far out will you go from your home base? How far do you travel?
Well, this year I'm going out to, I've already done gigs up in Washington State, Bellevue, up mm. near Seattle for
wow.
the Winter Grass
mm-hmm.
Festival. I got one called Summer Grass down in San Diego. I have them up in Maine. I have them in Florida already. I just go wherever.
Will you all drive or do you fly for the longer distances?
Mostly fly for yeah. these type of things. I found out that traveling, that's the hardest part of these things. Mm-hmm. So I try to fly. It just takes the pressure off a lot of things. It's sometimes a little more work because you got the equipment and things.
Yeah.
And a base and things like that you have to arrange for. But I like to fly. It just makes it easier on me.
Sure, faster.
The older I get, you know. Yeah. And some people just like to drive. We do a lot of that, but these trips out west and out to Colorado and things like that, I'll drive to.
Yeah, yeah.
Or fly to.
Right, right, okay. Yeah, sure. So you guys have a new record out or on the way is Bluegrass Troubadour, I think is the name, right?
Bluegrass Troubadour. That's sort of what people have been using as my little label here lately. So I said, let's just name this CD Bluegrass Troubadour.
That's great.
It's just a cross mix of new and a few older ones and just a few real old tunes, and it's out on the Pinecastle label and it's done really well. The so-called title cut, Blink of an Eye, was nominated for Song of the Year at the IBMA Bluegrass Awards last year.
Wow, that's cool.
In the fall, the CD itself was also up for CD of the Year, and I was really proud of that because out of all the music that's been released in a bluegrass form, to be included in the last five recordings of the year made me very proud.
Yeah, I'm sure that's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So how far ahead are you planning for your music? Like, do you have the next CD in the thought process?
We got some of it recorded already.
Okay.
I got a new song that's been released as a single.
Okay.
Out, What Crosses Your Mind is the name of that, on Pinecastle. With a young lady named Sage Pauser. And she is a delightful singer, just a really, really excellent singer. She plays in a band called Prairie Wildfire, and they're from out in Wyoming way. Well, Sage and a gentleman named David Stewart wrote this song, What Crosses Your Mind. I first heard it, fell in love with it. David Stewart pitched me to record it. And I listened to it and said, man, that is a great song. But I decided I needed her to also sing with me. So we did it as a duet. Okay. And it's been nominated or been up on the top 10 song list now 2 months in a row. It's been number one for a couple months. I'm just tickled to death. She's a very fine singer. Plays in an excellent band, and to have her singing his song with me has just been a delight. We did it in a more old country style, much like I kept thinking this is like a Dolly and Porter song, a Tammy and George love song, and I just hearing the answer back, going back and forth between her and I, and so we arranged it that way, and it really come out good. Come out excellent. That's tickled with
that's cool. That's neat. And this is part of the a future album. When is that?
Yes.
When is that slated? Do you have
we're recording songs now, and I'm hoping that it'll be out by winter.
Okay.
We're taking our time.
Sure.
And getting it right. I don't like to rush just to put out a CD to put out a
CD. Right, sure, yeah.
I like to take my time, and I'm letting some fresh ideas be a little more influenced on this recording. So I'm tickled to death so far.
Yeah, that's cool. So where can, how do you like to communicate with your fans? Where can they reach out to you and listen to your music?
We have a Facebook page, Danny Paisley and the Southern Grass. I have my own Facebook page is Danny Paisley. We have, I believe there's Instagram and different things like that. Got a website, DannyPaisley.com. You can check on there where we're playing at. It usually has all our gigs on there, little write-ups about the band. And just different news like that. My son handles a lot of that, Ryan does, so he keeps everybody well informed, and we just love it when they show up to the shows and come up and say howdy.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Well, congratulations.
That's the best way.
Yeah, well, congratulations on such a productive and neat career and being able to do it, do what you love.
And I've been very proud of my music. I've always sort of been independent, done things my way, and always been steady. And I love the music. I love all kinds of music. Sometimes I take influences from different people. Sometimes I surprise people when they ask what I listen to, and I said over my life I've listened to everything from Lynyrd Skynyrd to classical to big band music, and certain singers, Pavarotti to Bill Monroe.
yeah, that's neat. That's cool. Well, thank you for your time, Danny. I enjoyed talking to you, and certainly
you.
Look forward to catching you guys out here on the road this summer.
Well, we'll be everywhere.
All right. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.